emptiness and fragmentation. Fragmentation is a sign of the loss of cultural authority. For many modernists, the fragmentation of culture and tradition sets off a quest to seek some new higher principle of order. One of the interesting things to note about Eliot's view of fragmentation is the way it indicates a former center which has lost control, but it also connected to the decline of Western empires. This idea of the destructive consequences of empire building is already foreshadowed in Shelley's Ozymandias, where the broken state stands as an allegory of the fragmented world that results from the decline of the empire. For many modernists, the fragmentation of culture and tradition triggers a quest to seek some new higher principles of order, which is why many modernists allied themselves with political movements, fascism or communism, which were both the sign of a new ideal and which in different ways promised new values. For fascism, a return to order and harmony based on some mythical vision of national history. For communism, a utopian vision of a classless society. We have modernists of the left, such as the Russian poet Mayakovsky, and the surrealists Breton and Deluard, and modernists of the right, like Eliot, Pound, Céline, Marinetti, and the futurists, to a certain extent Yeats, whose Irish nationalism contains some elements of fascism. The search for a new order also goes some way to explaining the elaborate symbolic systems constructed by many modernists. We can see the modernist dialectic of decomposition in some of the paintings and collage of Picasso. Once again, splitting and fragmentation is resolved into some superior harmony. By contrast, Beckett situates himself and his work precisely within the scattered coordinates of the dissolution of the Western tradition and the unified Cartesian ego. In a sense, his work is a kind of demolition of Western thought, identity and language. While Eliot and Yeats try to recompose the tradition, Beckett is interested only in its decomposition. His texts employ a kind of syntax of weakness, and it is the qualities of weakness, failure and absurdity which predominate in his post-apocalyptic scenarios. For Beckett, the cultural tradition has become a rubbish tip of bits and scraps, relics of a dead world which have no value except for amusement. We could say that Beckett's work tend towards nothingness without ever quite arriving there. For Beckett, the center is just an empty space, a hole in language, and in the symbolic order around which it turns. This is the function of Godot in Waiting for Godot. In the ultimate analysis, Godot is simply a kind of Zen joke. The two tramps refuse to go because they believe Godot will come, but in the ultimate analysis, Godot is simply the world go plus a full stop dot. The last word of the play is Godot, in fact. Thus, the only encounter with Godot which is possible would be to miss him by going, which Vladimir and Estragon do not do. From here, it is only a short step to forms of art and literature which negate meaning. For example, the music and theoretical writings of John Cage, in which the role of the composer is almost non-existent, as the work of art is decided by chance operations. Art becomes something, anything that happens within a particular framework. Here we see a new discourse emerging in Western art. Therefore, meaning, if it exists, is not something buried in the work, but something added on, invented by the spectator. The work is no longer considered an object, but a process. In pop art, for example, this process is one of endless serial repetition which denies an original object. The same is true of minimalist music, which often enacts variations without a theme. Emptiness becomes a positive attribute of art practice. Thus, when Eliot says, "We despise, we are the hollow man, we are the stuffed man," musician and artist John Cage replies, "Keep the head alert, but empty."